Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. Titans lose 26-0 to the Houston Texans yesterday. And to help us talk more about that, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I've had a bad week.
Yeah. I heard you weren't feeling the best.
No, that's the topper. That's the topper. First, I took my cat to get spayed and spent $500, only to have them open her up and find out, what is that? Only to find out she had no reproductive system.
Wow.
And then I tore my meniscus, and then I got sick, and then I watched the Tigers.
Good grief. What a week.
Yeah, that's a bad week.
That's not good.
Two things saved it: the Bears field goal block and the Packers clock management in overtime.
Yeah, really good stuff. Really good stuff on all fronts. Awesome. But, oh, really glad I stayed up till midnight last night to watch all that, too.
Did you believe that last 10 seconds?
No. I mean, it's really lucky there's not a hole in my drywall for what all went down in the last 10 seconds there. But, hey, tie. Everybody showed up and no winner. Might as well just not even played last night. Good stuff on that front. Speaking of teams that might as well not have played, the Titans showed up in Houston yesterday and did not score any points. 26-0, the final from Houston. So, I mean, Corey, at this point, it's a weekly tradition talking about a Titans loss. I feel like they're getting worse, which is, I think, factors into the Brian Callahan discussion here. Like, it's one thing to lose. It's another thing to not be getting any better and, frankly, to be showing – that you're getting worse and not improving. And I wonder, Corey, if yesterday was the game that does it for Brian Callahan as head coach of the Tennessee Titans, and could we see some news in the next day or two?
Yeah, you know, it's a legitimate question. You know, you look at that game, and it was not good in any way, so don't take what I'm saying is wrong. But if you make the two field goals in the first half, which you should make, it's a 6-6 game, and it's a considerably different game. You know, but being outgained on the time of possession, what was it, 38-22? Just because you couldn't stay on the field offensively. You know, they committed fewer penalties. They gave up fewer sacks. Those were all good things, but they really don't matter if you don't make any plays.
Yeah.
And they don't make any plays. You know, they string two nice run plays in a row, and then they run a flea flicker reverse that loses 5 yards on first down. And, you know, some of the tough stuff is tough to handle. And, you know, it's another game that was, 6-0 going into the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, the fourth quarter, the defense runs out of gas, and there you go. I mean, I'm glad to see Cam Ward get upset. He should be upset. Everybody should be upset. But, you know, as he says, there's only 53 guys who can do something about it. You know, and the coaching staff as well, of course. But, you know, I think the main question you asked there is, you know, is this the game that did it? The big question I have was, did Cam Ward get better Sunday?
That would be no.
And that's the most damning answer for Brian Callahan and the staff, because as we said all along, this season was all about Cam Ward and the whole reason to stay with the coaching staff and the cohesiveness of it is, you know, the development of your young quarterback. But if he's not developing, then that argument flies out the window.
Not that there's any evidence, like you guys just said, to really suggest that he is, but I think at some point toxicity can overrule even that as a plan. I mean, I come in today, Corey, and I'm out of reasons that they shouldn't fire him or that they won't. I mean, I think it's just a matter of time. Do you have any argument to put forth for why they should not?
No, other than they don't want to pay two staffs, you know, financially. I mean, you can't argue with the results. I mean, 10 losses in a row, worse. I mean, you are the worst offense in the NFL.
Yeah.
The worst. Your first pick of the draft is averaging slightly over 100 yards a game passing. You know, you've had three tough assignments defensively. There's no doubt about it. But again, you're allowed to get better. You're allowed to get better. And I'm sure they could pick out things as they say, well, this was better and this was better and this was better. You're on the field for 22 minutes. You can't stay on the field. And that's not to say, look, the quarterback can play better. There's no doubt about that. There's throws that he needs to make that he's not making at times. But again, that's the development of the quarterback, you know. And, you know, I don't want to bring, you know, Will Levis into this conversation because I don't want to compare the two quarterbacks. But, you know, the thought was that, you know, he would get the most out of Will Levis, and Will Levis got worse. And, you know, I'm not saying Cam Ward is getting worse, but he's not getting better. And that's the most troubling thing.
What did you make of L'Jarius Sneed trying the old trash talk routine with Nico Collins last week and then getting burned on the second and 33 for a nice game of 37?
What did he tell TK? You know, when he asked him about the play, and he goes, well, did you see the rest of the – is that the only play you saw?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, dude, it was one of the biggest plays of the game. It was second and 33. I mean, you got to get the ball back there. I mean, that's pretty much the same as a turnover. Yeah. Pretty much. You should be getting the football. And not only do you not get the football, you give up points. And you give up points, you know, against the guy who you said you didn't even know who he was. And that's embarrassing. And that whole thing was embarrassing, really. I mean, I get Nico Collins responding. He's too good of a player to be disrespecting like that. But you're both 0-3. And by the way, the Texans are bad, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't watch that game and thinking, wow, this is a good team. I can't believe they're 0-3. I watched them. I go, wow, I know why they're 0-3.
Exactly.
They can't stop the Titans pass rush. They are in trouble. I mean, they are in. It's going to be a long year for them unless they get something figured out.
No, I agree. I mean, look, today we've got we got Colts and Jags fans, and I know the Colts, boy, whew, that's a tough one. But they should be 4-0.
Yeah,
because they were out playing the Rams for a lot of the day on the road. Like the Colts and the Jags are. I mean, it's four games, but I think they're flat out both better than the Texans, which is
absolutely,
stunning.
Absolutely, yes.
Which is stunning.
It's what we always talk about, Joe. They're better in the trenches. You know, they're better in the offense, especially the Colts. They're better in the offensive line. And, you know, we saw it for years here. You know, the Titans may not have been very good at times, but their offensive line always gave them a shot in games. And, you know, their offensive line does not now. But, you know, the Colts' offensive line is the best in the AFC South, and it's probably why they're going to win, you know, the division. You know, to me, them being 3-1 is not near as big of a surprise as the Jags being 3-1. But that might just be my disrespect for Jacksonville.
That might be your Duval love.
Duval, look at Liam Cohen taking on the defensive coordinator there.
Yeah, he might want to think twice about that. Yeah,
yeah, you know what? Yeah, maybe. You know what, Liam Cohen, maybe like yell at a guy like Nick Holtz or something. Yeah. Do not take on Robert Saleh. He's going to remove organs from your body.
Nick Holtz just catching strays. Yeah. Wow.
I'm just the first guy who came to mind where it's like that would be more like Liam Cohen. Like that would be a nice slap fight.
Well, at least in that scenario, Nick Holtz would do something.
Bo Hardigree is pretty thin.
Yeah.
Good point. We've resorted to, let's have some coach fights.
Oh, why
let's
not?
Have some coach fights around here.
Why not?
Well, when we had Vrabel, and when the team wasn't good, we always said, well, what if we just have the coach fight the other coach?
Exactly.
Except for when they play the Lions. That one might be a death match.
So, Corey, Cam Ward, 10 of 26 for 108 yards yesterday. It's 4-2.
40%.
Not good. Yeah, it's just not good. Yeah. A quarterback rating of 35.4. And look, I'm trying to be as measured as possible in the Cam Ward discussion because, number one, he's a rookie. It's four games in. And the situation around him from the roster to the coaching staff is complete and total crap. So I don't want to sit here and act like I'm just throwing shade at Cam Ward. However, his numbers through the first four games are bad. Like the numbers are not good. You're 51.2% completion percentage. He's 4.9 per attempt, which is not a good number. Two touchdowns, two picks. So what are you seeing from Cam Ward right now? How concerned are you about the first four games of his career?
Well, look, he's a rookie. It's not all going to be perfect. You know, Jaden Daniels' rookie year doesn't grow on trees, all right? That one doesn't happen a heck of a lot. Well, look at Matt Stafford's first couple of seasons. You know, he was hurt most of them, but they weren't great either. And I'm not sitting here saying, but I'm saying I'm not going to panic because of it. I did expect better. I mean, I'm going to say that unequivocally that I expected better. And there are passes that, you know, you would like to see completed. And then there are passes where they just don't even look like they're anywhere near on the same page. I mean, he had a couple of out throws yesterday that weren't close. And I don't know if the receiver's in the wrong spot or if he's thrown it to the wrong spot. I don't know. I don't think the protection was that terrible yesterday. Do you?
No, not compared to what I thought it might be.
Expected. Yeah.
Yeah, we thought he was going to run for his life. And, you know, I heard some people on the radio afterwards saying, oh, they're going to get him killed. I mean, he only got sacked twice. You know, I'll take that. That's 34 sacks in a season. That's not a terrible number. But, you know, the ball to Iamanner, you know, is it because he thought Iamanner was going to sit on that spot, or is it because he didn't set his feet and he just flung it out there and, you know, like a missile and it bounced off his head? That's the ball I want to see completed, I guess is the bottom line. I mean, he's open. I want to see that completed. You know, you go back to the pick six last week. Have you guys watched that play again?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got Iamanner wide open in front of him in the middle of the field. And so, you know, and look, I don't play that position, and I don't ever attest to be good enough to play that position. It is the toughest position to play in all of professional sports. That's why getting a good one is so valuable, because it is so impossibly, as a Chicago Bears fan, it is so impossibly hard to fill. Okay. It is very tough. But, you know, he's played a lot, you know, since he was 5 years old. He's, you know, played a lot in college. And, you know, I know it all happens faster at this level without question, but there are passes that you'd like to see get completed. And, you know, the one that was picked off yesterday is one of them. I don't think it makes a difference in the ball game. It's like, you know, the blow to the head that mysteriously doesn't get called.
Amazing.
I'm still trying. Like, I don't care what game I'm watching. That's a penalty. All right. If the Titans do that to somebody, if the Bears do that to somebody, that's a penalty. All right. And he's a dirty player to begin with. That's a penalty. So I don't understand how. I mean, that might result in 7 points getting put on the board. Again, they're not the better team. But you'd like to see the game called the way it should be called.
Yeah, I mean, that's a roughing like in like 2002. Like, how do they miss that one? That's insane.
They changed the rule to being struck in the head with force. Well, there was force there.
Oh, yeah.
There's no question about
that. That was.
That was the all-star wrestling move. That was like Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
So, Corey, I agree with both of you guys. You know, like the protection was better than I expected. I mean, Dan Moore did make Danielle Hunter look like Lawrence Taylor on one play.
He did.
I mean, Danielle Hunter does have 100 sacks in his career.
Sure. He's up there. He's getting a little older. But, yeah, I mean, it's a good pass-rushing team. But is there any – like, would you look at this situation and think about Cam Ward's long-term development? And, again, it looks like he's going to be, you know, dealing with a new everything next year. Like, is there any argument to be made to sit him down?
Oh, wow. Like, if you thought you were going to get him hurt, I think that would be about it. But that's a terrible message to send your team. You know, like, if he was hurting, like, if he had, like, a mild knee sprain and he was playing through it, I could see shutting him down. But he's healthy. And if he's healthy, he can play, just like the rest of them can play. And so, you know, I know you don't want him to develop bad habits, but I mean, are you gonna operate your team as if your coaching staff can't coach? I guess is my question. I mean, you have to trust the coaching staff to coach him and to coach him out of some of the bad habits he might develop in some of these situations. You know, it's really boring with the Nick Saban thing of stick to the process. They've got to stick to the process right now. But the thing that I emphasize is, and I know he's talked about it, but I don't think he's done it all the time, is doing the boring. He needs to be able to make that boring check down throw on first down to get 5 yards. and just be willing to accept that play. I mean, you know, he has gotten more willing to accept incomplete. But, you know, it's just reinforcing a lot of the footwork, a lot of the take the easy throw on first down, keep the ball moving forward, put us in second and third and reasonable. Because, you know, if they're in third and four, he can run or throw for the first down. I think the only two first downs they got yesterday were on his scrambles on a third down. But, you know, when you're in third and short, you put yourself in that situation. So I think that's one of the biggest things that they need to reinforce with him and he needs to accept is doing the boring part first.
Well, Corey, great stuff. We hope that this week for you is insanely better than last week was for you.
Yeah, that stupid cat. I'm going to change your name to Pat.
And then you had to watch the Titans on top of all of it. Just insult to injury there.
Well, I hate to say, and maybe this is a damning statement. I didn't see anything yesterday I didn't expect.
Yeah, and doesn't that kind of tell you where things are?
Yeah. I mean, and that's one of the old, number one, in any of these four games, did you ever feel like the Titans had a chance to win?
No.
Were you like, man, they can win this thing?
No.
No.
Well, Denver, no. They should have.
Well, but you still felt like they were going to find a way?
No, I mean, I didn't think they ultimately would, but I mean, it's like,
well,
Denver
was
trying
to
give them the game. Denver tried really hard to let them win that game.
They were in the game with the Rams going into the fourth quarter. They're in the game with the Texans going into the fourth quarter, but they don't make the plays to win the game. I mean, Jeffrey Simmons was outstanding yesterday. I said going into the game to have any chance he had to be the best player on the field, and you could argue he was the best player on the field yesterday.
Yep. And they lost 26 to nothing. It just kind of shows you where they are. Corey, thank you, sir. We appreciate it.
All right, you guys have a delightful day.
Same to you. Same to you.
The Bears are now just a tick behind the 2-1-1 Packers.
A lot of work to do.
Maybe that tie gets you into the playoff.
Maybe so. A lot of work to do. Really exciting stuff. Corey Curtis brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. We'll react to what Corey had to say coming up next. Take your thoughts on the Titans. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. Titans fall 26-0 at the hands of the Houston Texans yesterday. And, Joe, we could go into the ins and outs of the game and how bad the offense looked and dissect, you know, what happened on third down and with the pass rush and all these things. Or we could let the quarterback just sum things up of what he thought and what he's seen from his team to this point through four games of the NFL season. Here's what Cam Ward had to say about the Titans after the game yesterday.
What's not going right for this offense where you guys just can't get on track?
Everything from interception to a penalty to an incompletion by me, a bad ball. And then once we pass the 50, we just not continuing the drive. So, I mean, if we're keeping the buck right now, so we 0-4. We have, at this point, we got nothing to lose. We dropped a quarter of our games and we've yet to do anything. So we have to lock in, especially myself on the offensive line. From the defensive line, from the special teams, to all three faces, we have to play together. We have not played together this year yet. And that's just something that, you know, we want to preach about it every day. Every day we got to do better, and we're doing that, but it has to show up on Sundays. It hasn't showed up yet, but it got to show up next week.
Cam Ward upset after the game yesterday, Joe, and I don't blame him. 0-4 to start the season. Offense can't get a thing done out there. And look, I don't want to excuse his part in this because we're going to get into Cam Ward here in just a few minutes. Like, it hadn't been very good so far. It's had some moments where he's had some great plays, but it hadn't been very good on the whole so far. And there's a lot of reasons for that, but a little bit of frustration boiling over from the quarterback yesterday after an 0-4 start.
Yeah. I think that's one of the best thing about the entire day for the Titans is Cam Ward saying, "We ass."
Yeah.
Creating t-shirts and giving us an opportunity today to say ass more than any show has ever said that word in the history of shows and ass. But perfect summation of what they are. I mean, that's exactly what they are, and he is fed up. And in all seriousness, that was like the highlight of the day for the Titans, because he's at least pissed off and is sick of it. And, you know, someone on the YouTube chat, this is a good point. Jacob was like, I love the shots of Cam's dad every game. He's a perfect representation of all Titans fans. He looks miserable. He did. Even when they made, like, he made some good plays yesterday, and they showed, and I'm sure it's like, that's a parental thing. Like, right, you're all nervous, but he still was just like, whatever.
They're so screwed. He had so much hope. Cam's dad did in the Denver game. Like, you could see, like, he's living and dying with every play, and now he's already been worn down by the Titans four games in. He's just like, I know we have no chance right now.
Bro. Yeah, look, I came up with the term. Maybe I didn't come up with it. Who knows? Someone came up with it. I used it a lot over the years, and the term is lionized. You know, you could tell when someone's been when the Lions would just take whoever. And they would be lionized, you know. And right now, like, Cam has been titanized in a month, and he's like, "My God, this
Titan
is
sized?
Bad."
Yeah, that's good.
Or titan sized.
Yeah,
I said titanized, but titan sized could work too.
There you go.
With a low T.
Yeah,
but no, I mean, he's fed up, you know, and good for him. I mean, the problem is, and by the way, I'm not suggesting that they should sit him. I don't think they should. I think they should let him, because, you know, again, I'm not saying he's Matthew Stafford, not far from it, but there's a guy who somehow avoided getting lionized because he was good enough,
right?
And he actually turned them into a team that could make the playoffs and stuff. I mean, that's what you hope with Cam Ward. It's just that right now, for all that's going bad around him, is also like he makes a few plays that are like, woo, but again, Will Levis can do that too.
Yep. Joe, on the Callahan front, and we're going to get into his exchange with PK here in just a few minutes on the show. But, you could tell frustration is getting to him. They've lost 10 games in a row dating back to last year. They're 3-18 with him as head coach. You know, it's a shutout loss in Houston. I think there are a lot of Titans fans expecting that's the tipping point, and that Brian Callahan at some point this week is going to be relieved of his duties as a coach. We'll see. I'm not discounting that as a possibility. That's what I would do. As I said to begin the show, Joe, I said last week, I'm done with Callahan. They need to move on from Callahan. But I have been able to listen to the argument of, well, what good does that do you right now? Like, you know, it's week three in the season last week. You don't see coaches get fired this early into a season. Like, what positive comes from firing Brian Callahan? Which I think has been, it's a good point. Like, it's a fair argument to make. It has now shifted on the Callahan front to me of, you're going to have to start telling me what the positives are to keep him. Like, you're going to have to start telling me what makes sense and what's good about him hanging around over the next few weeks. Because I, Joe, see a team that is getting worse, not better, a team that is not improving, a team that has a lot of toxicity around them right now, and I think you're seeing frustration boil over in the post game. I think you're seeing it at the end of the actual games where they're just phoning it in out there, and I think this has the opportunity to be a really negative thing. And the biggest thing is, I don't see any improvement in Cam Ward. Like, I don't think Cam Ward's getting better. I don't think he's being developed. And if you're not developing Cam Ward, you're of no use if you're the head coach of this team right now. So I've been able to listen to, well, what good does it do to fire the coach right now? I would agree with you. It doesn't do a whole lot of good. I don't know what good keeping him around right now is doing either, though, and that's a huge problem.
Yeah, I think the onus has shifted now. The onus is, and I was more on that side a week ago, but I think the onus has shifted to the point where I really don't want to hear media around here talking about, well, tell me what good is it going to do. Tell me what good it's doing to keep him, because at some point negativity snowballs to a certain size where it's like you just have to do something to change up the vibe, you know. And we're about there with him and everything. I understand that Kaharski came up with an interesting way to try to provoke him yesterday, reading signs in the building. But he also is like, you can see it with him with those interactions. And we asked the question earlier in the year, Robbie, about, okay, what does that do in your locker room when you botch things as badly as he has. Like someone pointed on the text that day, hey, didn't have a lot of penalties, didn't have any big coaching things yesterday. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, and they still lost 26-0. But I think maybe we're seeing a little bit of the answer, you know, and how this team performs. And again, I hate the whole idea of playing for a coach or not playing for a coach, but having confidence that your coach is competent is important. And again, the negativity gets to the point where now it's like, tell me what is important or why it's beneficial to keep him. Unless you think that there's still any chance that he can save himself and he'll be the coach next year and he is going to develop Cam Ward. I think it's hard to judge Cam Ward development right now. Just, it's not good, but again, it's a terrible team. So it's like, you know, are they working with him on the correct things, on his footwork, on all the stuff that like these coaches all copy each other and do all the same stuff? I mean, I'm sure, you know, you have a terrible team and he can't find any success. Also, I'm just not sure that he's ever going to be great to the point where he can consistently deliver the ball where it needs to be. That just may be what he is. I don't know. But the onus is on why is it important to keep Callahan at this point?
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans coming up next. We'll get into the spicy back and forth between Callahan and PK after the game yesterday. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Joseph to the program. Joseph, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thank you so much for taking my call. Look, I think, to be honest, cooler heads are going to prevail here. As much as everyone wants to go for Callahan's head, it doesn't seem like the players do. You know, they may have played poorly, but they still seem like they're playing hard. It doesn't seem like he lost the locker room. So that's my first thing. Second thing is I don't think you've got anybody great to replace him. Third thing, if you care about Cam Ward, consider this. He's coming right out of college. He would have had Callahan for a few months, an interim play caller for a few months, and then whoever the new coach is. Four play callers in like less than 18 months cannot be good for a quarterback's development. Finally, Bill Callahan helping the offensive line, making them better than they probably will be if he goes too, because he probably isn't going to stay if Brian gets fired, is also not good for Cam Ward in the long run. So let me know what you guys think about that, but hopefully that cools some things a little bit.
Thank you, Joseph. Appreciate the call. I mean, all fair points, Joe. I think all the things we brought up before, I would also say, like, you know, you talk about the offensive line playing worse. I'm not sure how much worse it's going to get than what we've seen over the last 12 months, right? Like, it's not going to be that much worse. The play caller thing is a fair thing. But again, like, I guess my counterpoint to all that would be, what about the damage of leaving things the way they are, right? Like, it's bad. This is as bad as I can remember. And look, the Wizen Hunt years were bad, and I try not to be as much as I can prisoner of the moment in this type of stuff. But I think this is probably the worst they've ever been. Like, I think the stretch they're in right now is the worst that I have seen since they've been in Nashville. So I don't want to undersell that. Like, I think that's where they're at with this group right now.
First of all, I appreciate a differing perspective.
No, for sure.
I mean, it is good to it's good to hear that there are humans in the world who follow the Tennessee Titans who don't want the coach fired. I appreciate that. Also, Lenny on the text says, the last caller was ass. And another texter says, quote, we ass. Let's never change, end quote. So a little bit of a dissent to that opinion quickly here from other fans. Yeah, I just, like, again, I think my biggest quibble with that is the whole, well, they haven't quit. Again, like, they're not going to quit. These guys, yeah, and again, they're not playing for a coach. They're playing. Most of these guys are hoping to remain NFL players for another year. Like, some of them are stars, and, you know, there's a handful of guys who are getting big money on this team, and everybody else is not. They're either young or they're, you know, I mean, there's scrap heap veterans. I mean, obviously, this team has a lot of scrap heap guys. It's the worst roster in the NFL.
Yeah.
They're not going to quit. They're going to play hard. It's the NFL. It's a violent game, and it just doesn't happen. That's not football. It's not reality. Playing for a coach isn't really reality. I mean, yes, you could look at a Vrabel. You could look at a Dan Campbell sometimes and say he gets extra out of guys, right? And that's great. That's what you want. But, like, I don't know, your Packers, I know that they had a rough one last night. They're a really good team. Do they play for Matt LaFleur?
No.
I mean, he's their coach. But also, he has demonstrated a level of competence, which is why he has kept his job, and he's demonstrated an ability to develop a quarterback because Jordan Love is freaking good.
Yeah.
And so that's what Matt, like, is, can this guy do the job? And I think it's, if we're being honest, and I don't have these conversations, I don't have truth serum, but I'd be willing to bet that a lot of this locker room has lost faith in just his competence.
I don't know
his ability to give them any kind of an edge. What a coach is supposed to do is supposed to give you an edge against the other guy, so that you have something that, you know, that gives you a chance to win a game. And he has demonstrated no ability to get a team to play above its head, other than, I guess, one game in the same site a year ago. But, well, like, that looks like a completely random occurrence at this point.
Well, and by the way, just because they don't, like, bash the coach in the media does not mean that he's not lost the locker room. Like, I would, you know, just because they're not publicly getting after him, which may come at some point, by the way, because we do see that happen at times in the NFL. But just because they're not doing that does not mean that they have not lost. I don't know how you couldn't have lost confidence in him based on the way this season has gone to this point.
Yes. Now, I will, to his point on Bill Callahan, and I understand the offensive line as a whole is bad. I think we have seen Peter Skoronski get better. Now, they had a twist yesterday where he and Moore did a terrible job and he got put on his butt. But, like, there's an example of a guy who I think has gotten better. I think J.C. Latham, there's probably a decent chance he is too. We don't know. He's hurt, but you are taking away months of Bill Callahan. I still have a hard time. I understand how easy it is to look at everything and say, well, he must suck too. I think he actually has skins on the wall to where you're like, well, he probably knows how to, like, make offensive linemen improve over time. So you are losing that. You're losing another, like, so there's two people who do a lot of work who you're losing. But again, it's problematic in that way if you fire him. But it's also, to this point, I think four games in, this team is not going anywhere.
Yeah.
This team is probably picking first in the next draft. And that's the last time I say draft this week, I swear.
Thank you.
So, you know, like, yes, there is some short-term loss there, especially, I think, with Bill Callahan. But you have to weigh that against the toxicity of the situation.
So back to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Ryan in Brentwood to the program. Ryan, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
What's going on, guys?
What's up?
The second and 30 play, I would be absolutely throwing my headset like crazy on getting that first down like the Texans did. Like, there's no anger at all on this team from the coaching staff. You know, there was an offside or a false start play on the offense, and Brian Callahan blamed it on the refs. I mean, there's no anger at all. They don't hate to, you know, they don't hate to lose. You know, winning, you know, the word win stands for what's important now. What's important now is to fire Brian Callahan. So, you know, it's absurd to not think that Brian Callahan doesn't need to be fired.
Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate the call. Joe, let's quickly, speaking of Brian Callahan, let's get to the back and forth between him and PK yesterday after the game. Here was the exchange between Kuharski and Brian Callahan.
Do you think this is a resilient and relentless football team?
I know what you're doing there, Paul. I know what you're doing. And I'm not going to answer that here right now.
Well, I mean, those are the themes that you've tried to catch on this football team. You're 20-some games in.
Yeah. I'm going to just compose myself here before I say something I regret, but yes, I think this team is resilient. I think it is relentless. We haven't played good enough football, and I think those are two very distinct, different things. We have to execute at a better level. We have to coach better. That's really all I can say.
Brian, did you think this team shows a little bit of resiliency?
I loved it.
Brian
Callahan did not, but I loved it.
I mean, Brian. No regrets, baby. Just like that dude with a tattoo on the chest. No regrets.
Not even a single letter.
Go after him. Go get him. I actually the underrated part of that whole thing is essentially he ended that with "we got a coach better, gonna play better." Right? Yeah,
exactly.
It was a slightly altered wording of "got a coach better, gonna play better." I just can't wait till Kaharski, that was good. So apparently there's some, you know, some lettering in the building about resilient, relentless. So he found that. I'm very excited to see what Kaharski comes up with today. Should be a real fun time. I'm sure everybody's looking forward to it. But seriously, I mean, Brian Callahan, resilient, fine. Okay. I mean, are they resilient? I mean, there's a certain level of resilience you must have to play this sport and keep coming back. And I mean, even like Simmons at this point is resilient for like standing in the locker room and being like, "Yep, well, we lost again." I mean, just having to answer these questions. But relentless? This team is not relentless, man. This team is not relentless.
As a texter said earlier, they are relentlessly pursuing 0-17. They are relentless in their pursuit of not winning a game.
There you go. That is true.
Let's quickly get to George on the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. George, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. I'm a season ticket holder. I already got PS Dallas, the new stadium, which I'm very excited about. I'm being dead serious. This team's not going to win a game. I'm dead serious. This team is not going to win a game. Maybe New Orleans week 17 for the battle of the first pick. But I believe it was Big Joe who asked Brinker and Borgonzi if this team could win a Super Bowl. Dude, they're not going to win a game. I mean, the only way this team wins a game is if whoever they play either pukes the game away, or the team they're playing is playing a fourth-string quarterback, or the other team has their hands tied behind their back. I think Adam Binger was right. Those wheat ass shirts are going to be hilarious. And I think I'm going to have to put a brown paper bag over my face the next time I go to a home game. This owner, she has no clue how to run a successful organization. Like, I'm sorry. She cannot make good decisions. The people she's hired can't make good decisions. I mean, I'm scared to death they're going to screw something up with this new stadium. I mean, they're going to install the seats on backwards, or the roof's going to collapse, or there won't be clean running water. This franchise hasn't gotten anything right since they fired J-Rob, and the hole they have dug with this franchise is so deep and big. I don't know how they get out of it, because it's so hard to imagine Amy Adams Strunk, or whoever works for her, to make a good decision. But, I mean, that's the NFL. The owner, she doesn't have to make good decisions, and she gets to make a fortune no matter what happens. So, appreciate the call, guys. Love the show.
Thank you, George. Appreciate it. I mean, you could just feel the disgust in George's voice there on that call. You could feel
that was a Now, that was a rant.
Yeah, it was.
If we're like Jim Rowe, like, ring that one up, or whatever he says, like, rack that one. Yeah. That was pretty strong.
That was good.
This is a low T alert.
One more segment on the Titans' loss to the Texans, 26-0. We'll get back into it coming up next. Take more of your thoughts. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road. Texans lose, or Texans don't lose. Titans lose 26-0 to the Texans. 0-4 for the Tennessee Titans. Joe, do we think that is the game that gets Callahan canned? Is he Brian Callahan-canned this week after the loss to the Texans? Or will he be coaching next week as they take on the Arizona Cardinals?
Well, if you force me to guess right now, I'm going to guess he won't be fired this week. He is talking, his schedule of the presser is later today. It's like 1:30. A scheduled presser could always not happen. As we've talked about before, Amy Adams Strunk fires people on Tuesdays as a habit, but I'm going to guess he gets a little bit more time, but I'm not super confident. I mean, I think it's close. And, you know, we can talk about a lot of this stuff as the week goes on. Couple back-to-back texts about Chad Brinker being the big problem. And Brinker has been here through this whole thing, you know, and he has elevated through this whole thing. You know, someone on the YouTube chat was like, "Thanks a lot, Rand, for leaving us with this stuff." And it's like, well, Brinker was here for all these decisions too. You know, and Callahan also, by the way. So again, it's like there's a brain trust that I mean, I know it's convenient, and when Callahan is fired, then everybody can talk about how bad he was. Just like when Vrabel was fired, like, oh, see, he wasn't all that great. You know, it's like you want to believe that the people who are retained, you know, are not the problem. They're the smart ones. But with the Titans anymore, I throw up my hands and say, who isn't to blame at this point?
Well, that's the thing. The bottom line is the Titans have a ton of problems, and they have almost exclusively problems. Like, that's what they are. It's just a big problem. I don't know that I'm willing to throw Borgonzi in that mix yet. He's just, you know, it's early into the job. There are some things about the draft class that look like they could be good. I think people are going way too far talking about the draft class to this point with what we've seen. You got a second round pick that's not giving you anything out there. You have 3 4th round picks that look like they could be good and contributing players. And then we'll see on the quarterback. So I'm not going to anoint his draft class as of yet. We'll see what happens on that front. But to your point, Brinker's been here for all this, and somehow he's continued to get more power throughout it all, and they continue to get worse. Is that a coincidence? Maybe, but
I don't know about this.
Happens over and over again. It's harder and harder for me to believe that's coincidence.
Yeah, I'm skeptical about this Brinker guy.
Yeah.
You know, just I feel like he's kind of rich people love AI and how it might save them money. Yeah. And I think he's like bamboozled the ownership into thinking that he's like some AI super genius that could save him $1 million. And that's all it took.
Well, Chad, that sounds like a good plan. We'll put you in charge.
Like, I'll pay all these, you know, whatever models to save you $1 million on some injury guy. And that's all it'll take for ownership and Amy. He saved us $1 million. I think we should keep him.
Well, maybe so. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, hey, look, I mean, is he the guy, the one guy who has demonstrated competence, and that's why he's been elevated, or is it just like Amy likes him? I mean, I have no idea. And, you know, people are like, you know, like all caps start with the owner. Well, sure, but again, you can't fire the owner.
She ain't going anywhere.
Should Amy hand off to someone else in the family? You know, that you could have that conversation too. But it's just, again, it's like you, at some point you just point at everybody and say, yeah, it's your fault. But, of course, she has to figure out who should stay, who should go. I mean, it's like a bad episode of Survivor. Joel said, it feels like Joe somehow imported some of the old Detroit Lions level of terribleness down to Nashville and the Titans as he covers the franchise. I'd like to point out, this is my second season of not covering the Titans from a writing perspective, and it's the worst. Like, when I covered the Titans and wrote about them, for the most part, they were really freaking good. I'd just like to point that out. Thank you very much.
I'm kind of with Joel. I mean, maybe it's a delayed process. You left Detroit, and all of a sudden the Lions are really good, and it took a little bit, but now the Titans have been, they've just been drugged down into Lions territory.
So you're saying the Titans have been lionized?
That's
what
I'm saying.
Is that what we're saying?
Maybe
that's
your fault.
The theme of the show. All right. Hey, it's fine. And, you know, I thought L'Jarius Sneed wasn't talking trash.
Good game from Nico Collins on Sunday. Who?
He was classy, by the way.
Who? Who's that? That does it for us today. Jake Lyman coming up next. He'll continue to guide you through this misery. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.